AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, Rodney, let's go. Fred Rogan,
let's get
Rodney
after it, Fred. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Come on. AM 570 on. LA Sports. 2 hours for us today. And let's start with the story of the night. By the way, I am not going to make the mistake that I have been making. I can't remember our caller's name yesterday that actually yelled at me. You kind of started the whole thing and said, don't make any predictions. Don't do that.
Don't do it, Fred. You're falling into Charles Barkley territory.
All right. So I'm not going to
make... People are going to start saying, Fred, don't say anything because the opposite is going to happen.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say anything about how I think the game tonight will go. I will just say I think you'll see a different Laker team. I think you will see a more aggressive start by the Lakers. And I think you will see them more competitive on the boards. Is that okay for me to say?
No, it's not.
Don't even say that?
No, because now Anthony Davis is going to get one rebound.
No, he's not going to get one rebound. You know what?
What are you saying?
I'll give you any amount of money that Anthony Davis will get more than one rebound tonight.
Okay. Good. I won't take that bet because I do believe he will.
Okay.
No, I do. It'll be an interesting game. I think the big-time pressure on the Lakers to win this game. I think they will win the series, but you don't want to give a team playing with all kinds of confidence and all kinds of momentum any more reason to believe. And going up 3-1 is a huge difference than being tied at 2-2. With this series and with the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets know how to come back from 3-1, but you give them even 2-2, they already feel like they can win because they feel like they're giant beaters. They can beat anybody, but they tie the series up. Their confidence is through the roof.
Well, my meter's still in green. So I think it'll be fine. I don't want to jinx anybody. I don't want to make that mistake. I think it'll be okay. But here's the thing. As you've watched the first three games in the series, and you've watched all the playoff games in the bubble, there's one thing I've noticed, and that is LeBron James is not afraid to complain. I mean, I'm not saying he's to the level of Tim Duncan, and you kind of give him a pass if he's your guy, but LeBron lets people know.
Why just in the bubble? He's always been that way.
I know, but it's more focused, I think, there. There are no fans. You can really see it. So, he kind of whines a bit. He wants the call. He thinks he deserves the call. And I guess you could make the argument with the way he plays almost every time he goes to the basket, maybe he should have the call because of his aggressiveness. He gets to the basket. You know he's getting hit occasionally. But in the bubble, he has not gotten a lot of calls. He has, and in this series, he has not gone to the line very much. And the Lakers are not pleased with that. So there's some gamesmanship here, Rodney, and you try to do what you can do at critical times. So it came out yesterday that the Lakers had notified the league and sent them some clips and said, you know, look at this stuff. Just look at it and see. But when they make something like that public, what they've in essence done is put everybody on notice. We've seen it. We've sent it to the league. They're not saying, oh, the referees are doing a bad job. But what they are saying is we've seen it, we've sent it to the league, we know the league will look at it because now they are expecting a different outcome. Do you think LeBron goes to the line tonight more?
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. But I will say that I can't, because I live inside the bubble and I know these things and I can't get caught up into what they, because this is standard practice, Fred. Teams do this all the time. They say our guy's not going to line. We're going to send clips to the league and take a look at this. And it is gamesmanship. That's all it is. It's complaining during a game. It's gamesmanship. Is he, you know, you call it whining, but it's for the next call, not particularly for that call. It's for the next call. And now it's something for the referees and the league to take a look at. Even if they're like, no, we're unbiased. We're going to do our job the way we do our job. The fact that it's out there subconsciously may make them think that, hey, maybe we ought to look at this a little closer. We did it when I was playing. Every Monday, we would send a list of plays that the referees missed. And, hey, watch this guy. He's holding. I'd have conversations with the referees before games. You know, you got to watch 95. 95 likes to go low on the quarterbacks. And this guy, he likes to hold a little bit. So you have those conversations. And it's all gamesmanship. And maybe the leaking of it to the public is a different level of it, but all teams do it. All teams send clips to the league and to the referees saying their guy's not going to the line enough, and we'll see if it pays off.
Well, the officials tonight are James Capers, David Guthrie, and Rodney Mott, and the alternate is Ed Mallory. So they've used, you know, the guys that have rated the highest during the year work the playoffs, and certainly right. The conference finals. So those are the officials, Capers, Guthrie, and Mott. I am guessing that you will see LeBron more at the line tonight. Now, let's be honest about it, too. He may be complaining, as are the Lakers, about him not getting to the line. But Kevin is a guy that has watched the Lakers and LeBron's career. Let's say LeBron isn't called for as many fouls as he commits.
No, I think he gets the star treatment as much as anybody else. He gets more calls than calls go against him. So, and to your point, he's one of the more vocal players on the court that complains about. And by the way, most of the star players are the ones who complain because they're used to getting calls. So when they don't, they notice it. So I think that's why we notice it a lot more whenever star players start complaining, because the calls they usually get, sometimes maybe a game here, a game there, they don't. They're the loudest voice against it.
Who do you think the biggest whiner was? I know the guy I consider the biggest whiner I've ever seen since I've been watching the NBA.
All right.
And stars do it. Tim Duncan. Could that guy just shut up? That guy whined more than anybody. I mean, watching him was a game all unto itself. You could see, and it was like, my God, his life is coming to an end. He was so, oh God, whining, bending over, gesturing.
Never committed a foul in his life.
No.
Always had the bug eye. Who, me?
Yeah, but he was that guy.
Yeah, he was a who, me guy.
I am
not
going to
sit here
like
and let you keep berating the big fundamental. I am not.
I'm not berating him.
Possibly the greatest power forward in the history of the game. I'm not going to let you do that, Fred.
Who was the official who challenged him to a fight? I forget his name. The bald official?
Oh, it was Joey Crawford.
Joey Crawford. When Tim Duncan was mouthing at him on the bench, and he says, "Go, I'll fight you. I'll kick your ass."
Yeah, that'd have gone well for Joe Crawford.
Right. Didn't he get teed up for just laughing on the bench one time?
He did. Yeah, just for laughing, for smirking.
Yeah, wasn't that Crawford?
Yeah,
I think Crawford got him, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'll kick your ass.
That reminds
me
of
the
Larry Murch and Floyd Mayweather. If I was 30 years younger, I'd kick your ass right now.
But you're not, so don't bring it up, because that ain't going to happen. Okay, so the Lakers try to go up 3-1 tonight. And at this point, whoever wins the West, see, I didn't jinx anybody tonight, Rodney. I'm not doing that. Whoever comes out of the West. Whoever.
Oh, you can say the Lakers come. You can be confident, Fred.
Okay, well then.
You can't be over. The problem with you go over. Oh, it's done. It's over. It's done. There you go. They go home. They're losers. They're this. It's a wrap. I'm in green. I'm in Kelly green, royal green, forest green. I'm in green. Jolly green giant. Oh, it's good. No worries here.
Okay, so let's just say the Lakers will win the series, because I don't want to have anybody. And like yesterday, when the caller called him, started yelling at me and saying, "What are you doing?" All right, so the Lakers win. Looks like they're going to see Miami. Isn't that a great story? And what about Tyler Hero? He's 20 years old, 20 years old, playing like a 10-year veteran. I mean, I think Miami is a great story. I think the Lakers will kill him. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I know. But I think Miami is a great story.
Oh, man. Why do you say that?
That Miami's a great story, or the other part?
The Lakers will kill them.
Yeah. That'll kill him.
Is anybody really killing anybody?
Well,
I mean, even in that series, I mean, you think about it. Boston had chances to win a couple of those games.
Yeah.
That they didn't win. They let him go. Right. You know, they didn't play well. I mean, even yesterday's game, they cut it down. Jason Tatum went off in the second half after having a bad first half. But Miami, there's something about them. And it's almost like you feel like they've got a little something to them, like kind of like Denver's got a little something to them. They got guys that we didn't talk about all year long, all season long, and all of a sudden they're coming out of the woodwork. Grant for the Nuggets, Harris for the Michael Porter Jr. has stepped up and became a household name now. Tyler Hero for sure. Duncan Robinson for them is playing well. Bam Adebayo is blocked. I mean, there's they got players down there, Fred, and they're doing a great job, and they're well coached. They're well coached, and it's fueled by the energy of Jimmy Butler. And it starts again with it, the way he plays defense, the way he plays aggressive. And Dragic is a bad boy too. So they've got a squad. I'm not going to say anybody, the Lakers or anybody, is going to walk through Miami.
If in fact it plays out where Miami wins and the Lakers get there, that'll be a great matchup. LeBron against the Heat. You know, Pat Riley, who signed LeBron, now on the other side, watching LeBron play against the team.
And Pat Riley's old team.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah.
That'd be a great matchup.
That'd be a lot of drama with that matchup. A lot of drama. And Jimmy Butler on LeBron, huh? That's what would be the matchup.
Yeah.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves, no. Fred.
See? I was just getting ready to say, because weren't we all saying, like, yes. Oh, Clippers, Lakers, this is going to be huge. See? Who's it big for? Balmer and whoever else. And now look at us.
Yeah, Fred. Let's slow it down a little bit. Slow it down a little bit. You want to fantasize about Pat Riley and the Lakers and Pat Riley now with Miami and the LeBron-Miami-LeBron-Lakers situation. I know that's, you know, what dreams are made of, Fred. But let's slow it down right now.
With all due respect, if I'm going to fantasize about something, not going to be that. Don't want to go into it, but not going to be that. Okay. This is a big night for the Dodgers, who I said were not playing. Well, they didn't play last night because they lost. So they are playing tonight, and it's a big night because Walker Buehler's going to pitch.
Yes.
This may have an awful lot to do with their fortune in the playoffs. And let's just hope that blister doesn't open tonight, Rodney.
Yeah, let's hope. In real life situations. So, but he has been throwing at USC, correct?
Yes.
He's been going at USC. Let's just hope that pitching at Dodger Stadium doesn't do something different than what he's already been doing with that blister. And because he is the key when it comes to pitching. I mean, I think he is the cooler. He is the guy that you can go out and he can be dominant. He's your ace on that staff, and they need him. In order to win a title, they need him in the rotation for sure. So hopefully it goes all well tonight.
You know, and there are ebbs and flows during any season. This one, no exception, although it's short. And at this point, they need those starters, and they need them to be able to go, because all of a sudden the bullpen has kind of got dinged up here. I mean, it's not the way it was when the season started. Joe Kelly started.
You saw what
night.
They did with, maybe they do that with Julio. They don't start him. They let him start this second or third inning.
Well, as long as they do that, see, because the first inning he pitches, he's not good. So in his mind, if he goes in the second inning, it's the second inning of the game.
Right.
Because he was okay last night.
Yeah, he was.
Joe Kelly struggled. Yeah, Joe Kelly struggled. Trinan.
Yeah, he struggled too against his old team.
Yep. Kenley, you don't know. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get. So it's really important that Walker Buehler, for the Dodgers' success, is healthy, blister-wise. I mean, we'll worry about him throwing strikes later. Let's just hope he can go out there and pitch and not have a recurrence or a relapse or that thing pops. If he's okay, they'll be okay, Rodney.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen it all year. We've been waiting all year. Okay, when is it going to get solidified? And Kenley had a great, it was reliever of the month in August. Was looking pretty good and then had some shaky outings. And, you know, by committee it's kind of been, but there hasn't been one. And then actually Kershaw's been really good. He's been pretty consistent. But the rest of the guys have been by committee. And the consistency has not been there. They certainly have the talent, but the consistency has not been there. And that's what you kind of feel you get if you get a healthy Walker Buehler, is you're going to get some consistency from the starting pitcher in that rotation.
Up next, Mark Medina will join us as we continue to get ready for the Lakers and Nuggets. Bottom of the hour. What are we doing today? Little Who Dis. We'll give you the cue to call over, jump sign. I'll have a crack at it with Rodney and Ronnie.
Rodney Peach Show.
The hottest takes and the best sports talk in the city from a man who lived it.
And Fred.
Yeah, come back to a little Shalimar. Take your time, do it right, Fred. Rodney Peach, Fred Rogan on a throwback Thursday.
All right, coming up bottom of the hour, little Who Dis?
What's up?
About 10 minutes from now. 866-987-2570. First one in. You call, Kevin will pick it up. You get to take a whack today at Rodney and Ronnie. But let's get back to the Lakers and what the expectation could be tonight for the team in the bubbles. They try to go up 3-1 on Denver, and for that, we bring in our buddy Mark Medina, national basketball writer for USA Today, a guy who covered the Lakers in this market for many years and a friend. Mark, thanks for jumping on.
Fred, thanks for having me as always.
Okay, let's get started with this. So the Lakers made their case. They did it through the media. You know, LeBron James is not going to the line enough. LeBron James is being beaten, and he's not having enough foul shots. A, do you buy it? And B, were the Lakers smart in trying this?
Yeah, the Lakers were certainly smart in trying this. Look, in the playoffs, you always look for any edge, and the officiating always plays a factor because, you know, you're playing a specific team for multiple times, so everyone sees sort of trends now. Does LeBron James not get enough calls? I think the interesting thing about him is it happens where he gets superstar calls and then sometimes where he doesn't get the treatment. And why that is, it almost reminds me of what Shaquille O'Neal would go through, where he would get both players get the superstar calls. They're being aggressive. You know, they're given the benefit of the doubt. But because, you know, both guys are so physical, they can absorb, you know, some of the contact from other opponents that might not make it look like they're in pain. And so I think it's cut both ways here.
Yeah, and isn't this pretty much standard for teams to do this? I know when I played in the NFL, you know, we would look at film after the game and we would submit everything to the league that, oh, this guy holds a lot, he's holding, this is a bad play, you missed that call. I mean, it's standard for teams to do this on a regular basis. This is nothing new, right?
No, nothing new. I will say this, though. As much as the Lakers might be wanting to get an edge and LeBron getting an edge, I don't think his trips to the foul line or lack thereof explains why they lost. I think you have to, you know, first give credit to the Nuggets with Jamal Murray in particular and just how, you know, hungry they've been playing. But also, I think these last five quarters, the end of the fourth quarter in game two and then all of game three. I think the Lakers have been sluggish with running their offense and, you know, LeBron aside, not being aggressive enough in attacking the basket and settling for jump shots. But, you know, the playoffs are often one pipe possession, so you'll take any edge that you can.
Mark Medina with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM 570, LA Sports. Yeah, you'll take any edge you can. Now, in game three, the Lakers came out. They were not aggressive. Denver out-rebounded them almost 2-1. If the Lakers just play their game, Mark, should they have a problem with the Nuggets tonight?
They certainly have a better chance, but I think unlike what went on with the Clippers and Nuggets series, I don't think this is a matter of, hey, the Lakers simply have to try. I think that's the scary thing. The Nuggets are a really good team, and even if they are on their P's and Q's, it's still going to be a competitive matchup. But I felt that fourth quarter comeback aside for the Lakers, game three was just ugly across the board. And I think it had to do with them getting a little tired, you know, getting frustrated and settling for shots, as opposed to the Clippers, where it just seemed clear they were riding the complacency train and the Nuggets were exploiting that. So to what you said, yeah, the Lakers will have a better shot at winning game four, but I think the Nuggets are a team to be reckoned with here.
No, absolutely. I tried to tell Fred that, and he was like, they're done. They're done. I mean, they've been in wars Florida pretty much through the bubble, but certainly in the last couple of playoffs, you know, with Utah and the Clippers, I would never count them out. How big a game? Who's this game bigger for now? Is it bigger for the Lakers or is it bigger for the Nuggets? Because I know the Lakers want to look at this. We need to go up 3-1, and if the Nuggets tie this up, then it's like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, I don't think that game four is going to define who's going to win the series, because as the Nuggets have shown, they can overcome 3-1 series deficits. But I think for the Lakers, if they give the Nuggets more and more confidence, that's going to make them feel like they're not in control of the series. And they're in control of the series right now. They're up 2-1. And, you know, in past series, they've been able to set the tone because they haven't messed around with their opponent and taken them lightly. And so it's certainly important, but I know if the Lakers are up 3-1, no one's going to be comfortable because the Nuggets have been down this road before.
Mark Medina is with us. Okay, let's go to the East for a second, Mark. And you look at what Miami has done, and you look at what a very young player has done. I think it'll be one of the big surprises of the bubble. And I know people kind of liked Miami going in, but boy, did you ever see them in the Eastern Conference Final?
Well, I'm not surprised, but I didn't pick them. I thought the Milwaukee Bucks would have gone to the finals, and the Toronto Raptors were in second. But I think with Miami, what's going into play here, Fred, is this. I mean, they obviously have a lot of talent, but they're a team that was very equipped to be able to survive the bubble because, you know, Pat Riley's MO with Miami, it goes back to his Lakers Showtime days. It's all about conditioning and making sure guys are in shape. And so they tackled that number one during the season hiatus during the pandemic. But number two, I think that there's a lot of culture where there's accountability, the stress to, you know, be disciplined. And I think in this environment where, you know, guys are away from their family, they're just living and breathing basketball, and it makes for long days. This falls into the Heat's workmanlike culture. Now, that being said, I am a little surprised that they're up 3-1. I thought that they are almost so evenly matched with the Celtics, where there's a lot of talent, there's depth, there's quality coaching. But clearly, I think what has gone into play is even if the Heat themselves don't have the same amount of continuity that the Celtics have had in recent years, they have more experienced players than the Celtics. And that's gone into play with Jimmy Butler prevailing in crunch time versus Jason Tatum with the Celtics being inconsistent with his shot. And I think because of that, you know, experienced environment, that has allowed someone like Tyler Hero to really blossom pretty quickly as a rookie, because he's getting a lot of good mentorship feedback from guys like Jimmy Butler and Andre Iguodala and Goran Dragic. You can really just go down the line here. So I would expect that they're able to put this series away in five.
Yeah, I'm a Tyler Hero fan right now, man. The kid is ice water right now. Before the playoffs started, Mark, you know, everybody was Clippers, Lakers, Lakers, Clippers, and, you know, they're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals, and that really is the finals. Well, now that the Clippers are out of the Lakers' way, doesn't that put tremendous amount on pressure on the Lakers to go win it all, regardless of who they play?
Without a doubt. And that's not to say that it's going to be a cakewalk for them. The Nuggets are a good team, and there's going to be storylines regardless of who they face in the East. Say it's presuming it's going to be Miami. You got LeBron facing his former team. If it's Lakers Celtics, you guys know what that means. But clearly going into the season, the Clippers were a team that was expected to be the most challenging team. But I think that this falls under the kind of the anything goes scenario in the bubble. And I think even with how impressive Miami has been, I still think that the Lakers are most equipped to win this series. I think they'll still put away the Nuggets either in five or six. But beyond that, I think for the most part, you've had LeBron and Anthony Davis be at their best, and then just a collection of different role players having good games on different occasions, and all of them being able to navigate all the inconveniences. That's been the whole theme of them this whole season, the China trip, having a new coaching staff, new teammates, the Kobe Bryant tragedy, the season suspension, restart in the bubble, them being the leading face of trying to get it, you know, resumed when they went on that short hiatus for a few days. So I think the Lakers have shown that through all those different adversities, they've been able to find a way to navigate through it all, and I wouldn't expect anything less for these next few weeks leading into the finals.
All right. Mark, we appreciate the information as always. Thanks for jumping on today.
Fred, Rodney, appreciate you guys, and be healthy, be well.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette.
Who is this guy?
This is who I am.
Who is this guy?
Who this?
All right, the shops at Montebello present the Outdoor Montebello Market. Shop your favorite center retailers Friday through Sunday between 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. Visit shopsatmontebello.com for full details. Ron in Pasadena, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, you ready to go?
Come on, Ron. Come on, Ron.
Yes, I am.
All right, here's the deal. Today, when you know it, just...
Hello?
Yeah, Ron, we're still here. We didn't go anywhere.
Oh. Ron, are you there?
Oh, man.
Ron,
what happened?
Ron. Ron, you can't hear us?
Hold on.
We can hear Ron.
No,
Ron,
I can't hear you.
Oh, no.
But wait a minute. Ron.
Ronnie.
Ron, you can't say, Ron, you can't say I can't hear you when I ask can you hear me, and you say I can't hear you because you obviously can hear me.
Wait, can I hear you? Okay, go ahead. Sorry, the Bluetooth was kicking in.
Okay, oh, well, something else isn't kicking in either. But are you ready to go, Ron?
Right.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Ron, are you ready?
Let's go Throwback Thursday.
Okay, let's do this. Let's try to get Ron on track.
Come on, Ron.
Now I forgot what we're playing, Fred.
We're playing Who Dis.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, Ron.
Ron, are you trying to get an edge by this? Are you trying to throw me off with this whole thing
that's what
you're
doing?
Yeah, it's psychological, Rodney.
Okay.
Psychological warfare, I love it.
I like your gamesmanship. I do. I like it. I dig it, Ron. I dig it, baby.
I was the fifth.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's go. I was the fifth overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft.
2014.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Who is this guy?
I have made five Pro Bowls and was the Defensive Player of the Year in 2016.
Chris Long?
Aaron Donald?
Oh, no!
And it is no good.
Jalen Ramsey.
How about new?
Khalil Mack.
Boom.
Khalil Mack.
Ron is on the board, Rodney.
Ron. I'm trying to think how Kevin thinks.
Maybe you should think like Ron thinks.
Maybe. Certainly not going to think like you think, Freddie, because you'd be botching these reads.
Next one. I was the third overall pick in the 2011 MLB draft out of UCLA.
Garrett Cole.
Brandon Crawford.
How about new?
No, senor!
Bauer.
Pow.
Ouch.
Trevor Bauer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Rodney
Crawford, right, right.
National title team UCLA had.
Good pull.
Yeah.
I was the 18th overall pick in the 2012 MLB draft by the Dodgers.
2012.
12th pick?
18th pick.
18th pick.
Who is this guy?
Corey Seager.
Whammo.
Whoa. Wow, is that long ago?
Seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
Ron's got the lead here.
Ron is rolling.
He was messing with you at the beginning.
Psychological
warfare.
Yeah,
threw me off my game.
Yeah?
Threw me off my game.
Okay. I was the 30th overall pick in the 2011 NBA draft.
Ooh. 2011?
Yep.
30th pick?
Yep.
Jimmy
Who is
Butler.
This guy?
Jimmy Butler. Come on, Rodney.
Are you kidding, Rod? Come on.
Buckets. Buckets. Wow.
Oh. I'd say that was buckets for you. All right, we got a game. You're tied.
Pull that one out.
Ronnie, you can still get in this if you get the next two.
Jeez, I'm trying.
Okay.
Rodney's on fire.
I'm not sure anybody's going to get this. I'll tell you right off the top. I made three
points. Jimmy Wynn.
No, it's Jesus.
It is no good.
You want to go with the next one?
No.
You got usually like a handful of them you go with.
No. Let's go.
You go. No, go with it.
No. Let
me hear it. Okay, I made three Pro Bowls in my NFL career.
Who is this guy?
I led.
That mean, are you suggesting that he's retired?
Yes.
Oh.
I am.
Ooh.
Okay.
I led the NFL in rushing yards in 2011.
2011?
Yeah. You're going to get it on the next clue.
Ooh.
Who is this?
You ready?
Steven Jackson.
Adrian Peterson.
And it is no good.
Ah.
I was an All-American.
Yes.
As both a running back and a punt returner in my junior year at UCLA.
No good!
Oh.
Ooh. Miles Jack.
100. Oh. How about new?
Ooh.
All right.
Who is
this guy?
Three Pro Bowls?
Three Pro Bowls.
MJD?
Any
Maurice
Jones-Drew.
Ronnie!
Wow. I thought it was before
that. It's about time I get on the board. Jeez.
Ronnie! That was big. That was huge.
Can I have 2 points for that?
No.
Absolutely not.
All right.
No.
So this is it. Last one. Ronnie, you get it. It's a three-way tie. Ron or Rodney get it. They win. Good luck. I was the 32nd overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft by the Rockets.
Ooh. 2015?
Yes.
Pascal Siakam?
No, sit down!
Oh,
20.
Who is this guy?
Clint Capella.
No good!
I won a national title at Louisville in 2013.
Ay-yi-yi. Oh, I do remember that team.
Who is this guy?
Get ready.
Oh,
get ready.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it's on the tip of my tongue right now.
Don't
say it. Wait. Okay, go ahead.
All right. This will determine it. I was traded from the Rockets to the Clippers in the Chris Paul deal.
Harold.
Chris Paul?
Harold. Ron wins.
Montrez.
Ron wins.
Yeah.
Impressive, Ron.
Never lost.
Never lost. See what he did? He messed with your mind at the beginning.
Yeah, he did. He scrambled my mind early in the show.
Yeah, when your eggs get scrambled. That ain't good.
Can't have that.
No.
Can't have that.
Hey, Ron, really appreciate you listening.
Yo.
Congratulations. Great job today.
Thank you. Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I appreciate you guys through this whole year. It's been a rough one for everyone, and just keep doing what you guys are doing.
Appreciate it, Ron.
Ron, you're the man. Thanks so much. Okay, next hour, Vinny Bonsignore will be along as we get ourselves ready for the NFL this weekend. And Vic will be along top of the hour with a daily haiku.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Oh, Freddie, I know you know this.
You know I do.
Yes, you do. Today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is...
Boom, there it is.
There it is by Tag Team.
Yeah.
This song reached as high as number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in September of 1993 and has been a staple at sporting events around the world ever since. It was ranked number 97 on VH1's list of top 100 one-hit wonders, while Billboard listed at number 58 on its list of greatest songs of all time.
Upside down and inside.
inside out. I'm about to show all you folks what again today. Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Whoop, There It Is by Tag Team.
Well, hopefully we'll find out today where it's at when it comes to the Pac-12. Top of the hour and it's lit. We'll get the very latest on that. But now let's bring out a good friend of ours, Matt Ruiz. And Matt, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
A proud UC Santa Barbara graduate, Matt. Hey, Matt, I wanted to talk to you about being a coach and athletic director here in Southern California, and you've been doing it for almost, 35 years now. With the change in CIF sports calendar due to COVID, how do you think it will impact the schools and the coaches come January?
Well, I think that, one of the things to consider is that, athletes – are naturally social beings. And so, they want to be together. They want to hang out when they're at practice. They're in close proximity to each other. When they're away from practice, they want to go out and do things together. And I think one of the biggest things for coaches is they're going to have an interesting time monitoring their athletes. So I know like on our campus, our coaches have to meet their athletes at the gate to enter campus. They have to take really good, attendance. As coaches, we know who's there and who's not there. We don't necessarily take attendance, but now they have to take attendance to be able to track athletes. There'll be an outbreak. They can't share water bottles. The water fountains are all closed. They can't use the locker rooms. So I think there's going to be a lot of things that coaches and athletes take for granted that when they returned, it's going to be really eye-opening to realize what kind of limitations they have on facilities and social gathering.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. I know they got to jump through hoops and do different kinds of hurdles right now, but as we return, we're seeing some colleges and that are returning maybe earlier than we thought. For high schools, it looks like the possibility of lumping all three seasons of sports into one semester. What issues will you run into when you're limited on space on campus? I mean, what's that going to be like?
Well, and looking at the CIF calendar, there's going to be two seasons of sports. So there's three seasons fitting into two. So for example, the fall sports will be played first, and you've got, for facilities use, you've got boys and girls volleyball, six teams sharing two gyms. And then we also have sometimes, volleyball coaches that we share. They coach women in the spring, and then they coach boys in the fall. Women in the fall, women and boys in the spring. And so there's issues with coaches as well. Are they going to be able to coach both sports or not? And then in the spring, spring's a nightmare. You've got baseball, softball, boys and girls soccer playing all at the same time. So that's 12 teams sharing two athletic fields here on our campus. Our football stadium is going to be down due to renovation. And so coaches are going to have to share field space. They're going to have to limit practice times. It's just going to be really tough. And then we also have gym issues in the spring as well with boys and girls basketball, badminton, and wrestling for their competitions. So it's just going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, and not only that, financially too, right? I mean, high school sports, they rely on fundraising and the local community support. How has Lakewood High been affected by this?
Well, in talking to several of our coaches, they've been doing fundraising through various websites. And so with the lack of in-person, fundraising or, in-person anything, the lack of contact, I think that becomes important. The other thing that, that we're finding in our campus is that our ASB usually funds us, gives us a small amount of budget for equipment and so forth, and then gives us a budget to pay officials. And so since our ASB can't raise money, we don't have that budget money, and so it's really going to be it's going to be really tough to find money to pay officials. And then on top of that, to purchase equipment for teams that need it.
Yeah. You may rely on the students asking their parents for more money, huh?
Right. Yeah. I think there's going to be an added burden to families. I really do, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Now, you're also an adjunct professor at Concordia University, Irvine, the Master's in Coaching and Administration program. How's that experience helped you grow as a coach, athletic director, and teacher?
Well, you know, it provided me an opportunity to reflect on my own coaching and AD experiences. It's said that you never learn more than when you have to teach something. And so I've learned so much from my teaching experience and have been able to incorporate a lot of the concepts that I teach into my relationships with students and athletes, as well as administrators that I work with. And one other thing is that I had the privilege of coaching my son at Lakewood, and I credit my teaching in the program for helping me be a good father and coach to him while he played in my program. It really opened my eyes about, you know, what it was like to coach your own, you know, your own child in a sport. And I think that he's an adult now. He's 26 years old, and we have a very healthy relationship now. And he played for me for 2 years at the varsity level. So it's been a great experience to teach in the program. It's been outstanding.
There's a lot of online courses out there, online universities. What separates MCAA program at Concordia from the other master's programs that are out there?
Well, I think there are two things. The first thing is that we understand our students are working professionals that have coaching or teaching jobs. They're often married and raising kids, all while taking our classes. And so I think we have across the board, the teaching staff in the MCAA program at Concordia, we have a profound respect for our students as working professionals. The second thing is that we want our curriculum to be applicable to their current professional experience. So we focus on concepts that can be incorporated into their own coaching or teaching experiences. So, you know, theory is great, but our students want to find ways to improve the experiences of their athletes. And so practical application is what we focus on. You know, most of my students, they want to coach. That's what they do. They coach. And so if anything I can provide in an educational platform that can help them become better coaches, I think that's the focus of our program, which might separate us from other programs.
Fantastic. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us so much today. We really appreciate it, and I want to wish you the best of luck as you navigate this year and come January as well.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the program.